As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you.
So as we just read from Zechariah chapter 9, the prophet Zechariah writes, "As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you," he's referring to the covenant that God made with God's people. Now, there's a backdrop. There's an underlying understanding of this whole book. And that is that Zechariah, the very name Zechariah in Hebrew, refers to, the meaning is God remembers. God remembers. The name Zechariah in Hebrew means God remembers. And so the whole book is reminding the people God has not forgotten. Even though they have fallen away, even though they fell into sin many, many times since the original covenant with Abraham, even though that at this time they had been enslaved in Babylon, and they were just now returning to Jerusalem, Zechariah, even in his very name, reminds them, God remembers. God has made a covenant with God's people. God doesn't forget that. You might fall away. We might be imperfect. We might do things wrong. We might sin. We may be in a nation that doesn't really recognize the Spirit of God and the love of God, but God does not forget God's people. And Zechariah was reminding the people, God remembers you. God remembers this covenant. And God says, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit, from this place of despair, from this place where there is no water. They are parched, they are drained, they are miserable as they have been in Babylon, and they have been in this place where they can't get that nourishment of in their spirit. God says, I'm going to free you from that. I'm going to free you from that. And he says, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. Isn't that a wonderful line? Prisoners of hope. Think about what a prison is. It captures you. It surrounds you. It's everywhere. And he's drawing this image that we look this direction as the people of God who have returned to God, who are part of that covenant. And when we look, we see hope. Yes, we can see the bad things of this world. We can see the struggles and the war and the pain and the suffering. We see that. But in that, because hope is all around us, we are a prisoner of it, we can't help it. When we're in God, we see hope. And we turn somewhere else and we see despair and we see suffering. We're not blind to that. And yet we look that direction, and because we are surrounded and engulfed by the hope of God, we see hope in that situation. We see something God can do. We see the Spirit of God and the work of God's people in the midst of that. We turn this direction. We see more suffering. We see more pain. We see war. We see famine. We see all, but we see God working in God's people, and we see that hope. That we are, as God's people, because we're in covenant with God, we are prisoners of hope. The Bible has a way of taking words and using them for its own that we may not normally do. We wouldn't normally refer to ourselves as a prisoner. In fact, we push against that. We want to be free. We want to feel like we are making all of our own decisions. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he writes, repeatedly calls himself a servant or a slave, something that we would rail against in our humanness, but he embraces that term. We wouldn't call ourselves a prisoner, and yet Zechariah calls the people of God prisoners of hope. There's a key to this. As he writes, "I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope." He uses the term twice, of prisoner. You're a prisoner in the pit, or you're a prisoner of hope. What we are learning in this passage is that you're going to be a prisoner of something in this world. Something is going to engulf you. Something is going to surround you. Something will be the focus of your mind. Something will be the focus of your heart. It will be your life. It will be the thing you see all the time, no matter which way you turn. But in verse 12, he says, return to your fortress. That's an action. We have to choose. We get to choose. In a fallen, sinful world, in a world that is full of pain and suffering, we can choose to focus on that. We can choose to let that engulf our life. We can choose to let sin surround us, and that we can see it everywhere we look, and we become a prisoner of it. Or we can take the action of following God every day. Every day of our life, we renew our spirit in God, and we allow ourselves and choose to be a prisoner of hope, where we can't help it. We can't stop ourselves. We see hope everywhere we look because we are a prisoner of that hope. Unlike human prisons, where we are forcefully put in, God gives us a choice. In this world, something will surround us. Something will engulf us. Something will entrap us. Something will be around us and will be the focus of our mind and our heart, and it will be what we see in every direction. And God says that you get to choose. Are you going to allow yourself to be in that pit of despair in this world where all you see is the suffering? Or will you return to the fortress, as Zechariah tells us? Will you return to the fortress? That's our choice. We get to choose. God gave us that choice, that we will allow ourselves to be the prisoner of hope. That all around us, we can't help it. Even if we are sinful people, we see the hope of God's forgiveness. Even if we have times of struggle, we see the hope of how God can teach us and bring us through that. Even if we are in a nation that does not see God, we have the hope of what God can do. To do exactly what we just sang, to set the church on fire and to bring his kingdom here to this nation, to Europe and all the world. That we have that hope even in the midst of the fallen world. And that was in a time when they were anticipating Jesus. Their hope was in the anticipation and the covenant and the promise. We have even stronger opportunities because Jesus has come. The Holy Spirit is on the church, is with the church. And we have a hope that is perhaps even more profound. Let me read to you from Romans. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not peace in the whole world. Jesus didn't come to bring peace in those circumstances of the world. It's still a sinful world. People still suffer. People still are imperfect. People still make mistakes, and we do harmful things to one another. The peace isn't through the world. It is through God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but also in the glory of our suffering, even in the suffering of the world, even in the suffering of this fallen world. We have that glory because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. What was promised in Zechariah is fulfilled in Jesus himself, in the Holy Spirit being that hope. So even when we live in a world that brings suffering, even when we live in a nation that doesn't know God, even when we are imperfect people and we bring suffering through our own mistakes and we are around imperfect people that cause us to suffer because of their sin, and sometimes things we don't understand, that we'll never understand, happen in this world, and we suffer in our worldly life, and yet the Apostle Paul, he can't help it. He just sees hope. He says, yes, we suffer. But you know what? That suffering brings about perseverance. And that perseverance builds character. And that character builds hope. He can't help it. He's a prisoner of it. He's a prisoner of hope that even in the suffering, he sees the opportunity to see the hope of what God is doing and what God will do. He's a prisoner of hope. He understands what Zechariah wrote to the people of the Old Testament. He knows that is fulfilled in that Holy Spirit that came upon the church. And he doesn't want anyone to misunderstand and think if you follow Jesus, it will always be easy. That you follow Jesus, it will always go fine for you. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that in the midst of that, we live a different way. That as the people of God, we live a different way. We see something no one else can see because of the glory of God in our life, because of the faith we have in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that comes upon us as his church. We can't help it. We see things differently. We see hope where others cannot. Yes, we know the suffering is there, and we grieve and we weep because we suffer, because others suffer. We feel that suffering. But that's not where the story stops for Christians. For followers of Jesus Christ, the story is not about the suffering. That is just the beginning. The suffering leads to perseverance, and the perseverance leads to character, and the character leads to hope. That is the vision that we require because we're followers of Jesus. That's why every day we need to be renewed in his spirit, that we make the choice. It's very important that Zechariah said, return to the fortress. Sometimes the world is so strong, our environment is so strong, it will pull us into that pit where all we see is the misery and the suffering and the pain. Because we are imperfect and we have this time where we live in this fallen world, it is so strong around us, it will pull us there, and we'll see nothing but that. Zechariah says, return. Something we have to choose to do, and we have to do it every day. We return to be a prisoner of hope, where even in our suffering, God is just building more hope. This is not, hope here is not just a wish list. It's not just, I hope this works out okay. I hope I get what I want. This is a deep core of knowing God will do God's will even in the midst of the suffering, that God will teach us and lead us and fill us and give us strength and give us peace because we are that prisoner of hope. We have chosen to be there in that covenant that God began. And when God begins a covenant, no matter where we are from, no matter what we have done, no matter what the environment around us, God remembers. The name Zechariah means God remembers. The one who teaches us how to be prisoners of hope, surrounded by hope, his name means God remembers. God has not forgotten this nation. God has not forgotten any one of us in the midst of our journey. He wants us, invites us, calls us to return every day to be that prisoner of hope, the one who is surrounded by the Spirit of God. And because God always remembers us, he will never forget the covenant he has with us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the filling of the Holy Spirit. we will always be, if we will allow it, God's prisoner of hope. Would you pray with me? God, thank you. You do not leave us in the suffering of this world. For a little while we will see it. But you call us to return, to be a prisoner of hope, that even in the suffering that we will build perseverance. Our perseverance will build character, and our character just leads to more hope. Let us be a people. Let us be a people of hope that understands the deep hope that is in the glory of God. Let us experience it, and let us share it with this nation and every nation. In the name of Jesus, amen.